Becca, do you want to clean that matches your vibe?
Sure.
Are you tired of meh smelling cleaning products?
Totally.
Well, then clean confidently with coconut scented Clorox Scentiva. Its powerful clean and refreshing scents transform every room in your home into a coastal getaway.
Because it smells like coconut, cleans like Clorox, and feels like inspiration.
Get Clorox Scentiva at a nearby retail store, also available in grapefruit or lavender scents.
Abusers in Hollywood are as old as the Hollywood sign itself. And while fame is the ultimate prize in Tinseltown, underneath it lies a shroud of mystery. Binge this season of Variety Confidential from Variety, Hollywood's number one entertainment news source and iHeart podcasts. 6 episodes are waiting for you right now to dive into the secret history of the casting couch, to explore the scandalous history of Hollywood's casting process. Listen to Variety Confidential on the iHeart Radio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Parents, if you've ever experienced bedtime battles with the kids, I'm going to let you into a little secret. The Koala Moon podcast has revolutionized over 20 million bedtimes, with parents like you calling it life-changing and the perfect nighttime routine. With original kids' bedtime stories and cozy sleep meditations, every episode has been specially designed to make bedtimes a dream. Listen to Koala Moon on the iHeartRadio app, on Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Big Take from Bloomberg News brings you what's shaping the world's economies with the smartest and best-informed business reporters around the world.
We cover the stories behind what's moving money and markets and help you understand what's happening, what it means, and why it matters every afternoon. I'm Sarah Holder.
I'm Saleha Mohsen.
And I'm David Gura. Listen to The Big Take on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Scrubbing In with Becca Tilley and Tanya Rad, an iHeartRadio and 2-time People's Choice Award-winning podcast.
Hello, everybody. We're scrubbing in. Happy Monday.
Happy Monday. I've got some energy today.
Some energy?
Yeah.
Why do you have the inner? Is it different than normal energy, or is it?
It's a little different. Okay. Yeah. I do have to say, because I feel like I've been like just kind of going out of town a little bit more. I haven't gotten on a plane yet, but I've been trying to venture out a little bit more lately. And this weekend I went to this place. I went with a couple girlfriends to this hotel over the weekend. And I just realized that, like, I miss community and connecting with people.
Yeah.
I feel like during quarantine, we're all a little, like, socially awkward. Yeah. Nobody wants to talk. And, like, we were out at this pool and obviously socially distanced, and we're outside at a pool and, like, nobody was there. And this really, like, cute girl and her friend get in with us and they start talking. It was so funny because my girlfriend that I was with, she, like, kind of panicked because we didn't have our masks. So she, like, turned around, you know, like, she, like, turned around yeah. and was like, I don't know what to do. But they were so far away. I was like, it's fine. We're good. And so we start talking to them and they were just so fun. The girl is a doula. And so, you know, me and I, like, just love all this stuff. I've never even heard. I didn't know what a doula was. So she's explaining to me, like, how a baby's born and how it, like, torpedoes out of you and the benefits of standing up while you're giving birth. And I was just like, oh my gosh, I'm going to stand when I give birth. Oh, and then I decided that I'm not going to get an epidural while I'm.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Okay. That'll change.
But I, like, fully got her number, her Instagram, and I was like, I want you to be my doula when the time comes. Like, she was just so cute, and her friend that was there, we just all were just, like, talking about our lives, and it just felt so, her name was Becca.
And meant to be.
Spells it the way that you do, and I was like, oh my gosh, like, my best friend is named Becca, like, this is so fun. it was just, I don't know, it just gave me this, like, I don't know how to explain this energy, you know, like, I just miss connecting with people, and they all are from LA. Her fiance is just, like, so cool. He's a businessman from here, and we're all going to, like, reconnect again and, like, have, you know, socially distanced drinks at some point mm-hmm. because we just got so invested in each other's lives. It was just like,
I mean, yeah, you're planning your future birth. Like, well, that's a good thing. That's all sorted out. You can cross that one off the list.
I didn't know anything about childbirth, truly, honestly. And I feel like we bonded over pelvic floor and, like, menstrual cups and just
all of these. Oh my God, a soulmate.
A soulmate. We spent like so much time with these people outside and it was just so fun.
Why no epidural?
Well, so because the baby, so I don't want to speak on it too much because I'm obviously not an OR, you know, trained professional. But she was saying that the baby torpedoes out of you and there's a lot of benefit to like moving your hips a certain way or something. And when you get the epidural, like you can't move it. And so there's just like there's benefits to not having it. There's also benefits to having it. But to me, in my opinion, the benefits of not having it seemed better.
Quick story. My wife was given an epidural and by a trainee. And it didn't take. Mm. And so she was feeling everything and they had to come in and do it again, which it's an unpleasant experience in when we saw the older guy teaching the younger guy where to stick it into my wife's spine. I was pretty uncomfortable with that. And then it didn't take as we'd feared. And then it happened again. And then it started to take. And then it was time. And then took her to the delivery room. And then it wasn't connected anymore anyway. And so she felt everything. So I'm a proponent of epidurals because the second time went fine and it was a much easier experience.
Oh, really?
Yeah, but...
Well, I think everyone's different. Everyone has their own plan of how they want it to go. And sometimes it doesn't go the way that you plan. And I think the whole thing with pregnancy, and obviously I'm also not a professional or someone who has experiences, but from what I follow a lot of moms on Instagram and I've learned that like you can't plan how it's going to go, but you have an idea of how you want it to go. But if it doesn't, you have to be prepared to... embrace the experience.
And that's what this doula, that's like kind of what she does. She kind of just like helps you plan what you, and who knows, I mean, I've honestly never given it any thought, so who knows when the time comes like what I'm gonna want. But I've never really talked to somebody that's super knowledgeable in that space before. And you know those people that just have cool, like she just had cool energy and I was just like, I want to be your friend. I need to be your friend. So I have a new friend.
I'm just, it's so fun. I mean, it's just like a lot of people don't talk about their birth plan before they're like pregnant, you know. But like in your mind, you're like, well, you know, it's the first time I've had the opportunity to talk to someone and get that knowledge as if you're on the cusp of.
I know. Well, no, we definitely got there because we were just talking. Because so her fiance was also divorced with a child. And so we bonded on that. And I told her, I was like, I'm not having a chance, you know, like I went through a breakup, you know, whatever. So we definitely got there. But yeah, it was so funny because it's just like total stranger. And we got into just like everything under the sun. And like, it was one of those things where I just realized how much I love meeting new people. I love connecting with people. And like something about that weekend, it was just like, I saw this couple that, you know, I had run into before. They're like this old couple that I'd run into at the same hotel. Just everything felt very kismet and hopeful and just
butterflies.
Just butterflies. Yeah. So I have like a good energy right now today.
That's good. Mm-hmm. If you seem refreshed, as if the weekend was a good breath of fresh air.
Yeah, it was.
Is it weird that she's found a new Becca?
Is it weird for me?
Yeah. Does it bother you at all?
No,
you're gonna love her.
I feel like if you found a new Tanya that you thought was so cool and so awesome, it would bother Tanya.
No, it'd be like a full blown
situation
argument.
Yeah.
Well, is she as cool as me? Like,
no. I mean,
no. I was saying that's what you would be like. Yeah. No, I'm like the last time I felt like jealous over a friendship, I think I was in fifth grade, my friends Sydney and Leslie. And then if they hung out without me, I felt like we betrayal. But yeah, it's the last time. So I'm happy for you. I'm honored that her name's Becca and she was so cool and effortless or whatever you said.
Just cool.
Yeah.
Just cool. You know those girls that are just cool? I was like, you are. And then her friend, they were this gay couple who we actually have some friends in common. And they were just as awesome too, and just like so in love and everything. I don't know. It was just everything about it was just awesome.
Love that.
So happy.
Did you watch the Super Bowl?
Yeah, I mean, I didn't really watch the plays and stuff.
Yeah, the play, yeah.
Yeah.
But the halftime show you watched?
I watched it. It was on, okay. But like, I don't know who,
you know. It was a snooze fest.
So I heard. What do you think about the weekend, though?
I liked it. Oh. The setup was cool. Like, I thought the setup, the production of it was really cool. And I thought how they utilize, like, the spaces, like the stands and stuff was cool. But I don't know. When I think about my favorite halftime performances, it's been like multiple people that come out. And I guess it's different with COVID. But like, do you remember the Steven Tyler, Britney Spears one where she came out?
Yeah.
That was like epic. And I think all of, even J-Lo and Shakira last year, it was just cool because there was like two people feeding off their energy. And then he was just kind of by himself. So like for what he had, I thought he was great in the sense of he was like entertaining for however long by himself. But I don't know. I was kind of indifferent, I guess.
You know, it's funny. I think that was like the big debate of like, it was kind of womp womp, a little like lackluster. Mm-hmm. But yeah, but you know what? You know what?
Uh-oh.
Okay.
Strap in.
Oh, she's adjusting in her seat.
I get it. The Super Bowl performances are like big and lavish and like fun and energy, and I get that. But if you're gonna hire The Weeknd, I don't really know how it works, but if you're gonna hire The Weeknd to perform at your Super Bowl halftime show, The Weeknd has a brand, and his brand is exactly what he brought. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like
totally.
That's exactly what he brought. And I respect the hell out of a man that goes down with his brand like that.
Well, I mean, it's like at some, I mean, that what he has a great, he's a great singer. The production was cool, but like, what else was he supposed to do?
That's what I'm saying. But like people were saying he could have brought other people. He could have like done a cover and like done some aerobics or things like that. But it's like, that's not the Weeknd. And if you're going to hire The Weeknd, you're going to get The Weeknd. And I respect it.
I was just upset that they didn't do like the TikTok dance to the Blinding Lights.
I saw a number of people make that same complaint.
Well, I'm just like, so I don't know if there's legal reasons or something, but I'm thinking you have all these dancers masked on the Super Bowl field and you're not just going to throw in a little routine for us that we all know. You know what I'm saying?
You know what I was Googling was, did The Weeknd get new teeth?
See, that's not good. If you were Googling that during the performance, it wasn't a very compelling performance.
No, it was compelling. I was just very curious. They looked a lot different.
No, but I'm with you. He did what he does.
My test is I watched it with my daughters, and halfway through, my youngest was doing handstands, and my oldest was staring at her phone. So that's my test. I think it was a snooze.
Yeah. But I would also hate to be someone performing at the Super Bowl and have to hear the critics. So
it's a thankless gig. It's like hosting the Oscars. You can't win.
Exactly. Yeah. I was gonna say, like, no matter who it is, there's always a group of people that are like, eh.
No, I feel like Shakira and J-Lo got a pretty—
Are you kidding? The whole conservative like nation was like talking about how really scandalous the dancing
and Gaga's
was.
I feel like Gaga's was pretty widely thank you. Widely raved.
Who did she bring anyone else out?
No,
was it
just her.
She, yeah, I liked her, but Sons. She danced. I mean, she's a— I mean, she jumped off the—
yeah, she like skydived into yeah, the arena.
Yeah,
yeah, like from the straight beginning, it was entertainment.
I know, but that's not what The Weeknd is, you know.
What I loved about The Weeknd were the memes. The memes afterwards were hysterical. So
oh my gosh!
I'll give him like, credit for that.
Someone said when I'm trying to— when I'm trying to find a bathroom to go poop or something, and it's like him like frantically roaming the hallways. And then like the close-ups where it's like all distorted and they're like, it was like in quotes like, hey, the Uber's here. They were funny. I will say also, yeah. When Gaga did it, when she did jump off, you remember people were— it was like the same thing, like memes when she jumped off.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was funny.
So, there you go.
I have a question.
Okay.
So, Tanya, you have decided you're not going to call the guy in the car. Last week's episode was called Sideswipe Right. Very clever title that Easton came up with, I thought.
Well
very
done.
Funny.
Props,
well
props,
done.
Easton.
And the big debate was whether to call him or not. You've decided not to call him.
For now.
For now. What does that mean?
I don't want to call him. I just don't want— I think that I'm kind of— leaning into this space of wanting to be somebody, be intentional and thoughtful and pursue me. So I'm kind of wanting to take my hands off of the wheel right now.
Well, he did pursue you.
Yeah, that's right? I didn't mean to go down this road, but I agree with Becca. That is pursuit.
Yeah, but it feels to me like I'm forcing it, whereas I'm just, everything else that's going on just feels more natural. So I'm just kind of leaning into that.
So next time, if he has to like run over you, and then it'll feel a little more
maybe
intentional.
Maybe he gets a toe next time and I have, you know.
Like, yeah, he gets a big toe. Yeah. I loved that story because it escalated to like, oh my God, he didn't really almost hit me. I just was like jumpy to like when he almost killed me. Like it was like escalated quickly.
You know what's funny is the difference, because I told the story on the morning show, the difference in the response from scrubbing in listeners versus morning show was drastic. It was,
wait, why?
Scrubbing in listeners were, this is fate, think of the story for your kids, it's so beautiful, blah, blah, blah. The morning show listeners were all like, this man's a stalker, he knows your run route, dateline, like don't go there, stranger danger. And I was like, and it's very obvious because of the time, you know what I mean? Like the people were reaching out was just different, completely different days. And it was just so funny to me.
That is funny.
Yeah.
Well, our scrubbers, like especially the ones who identify as Tanya's, of course, they saw like the romantic comedy aspect of it. Me cute.
Yeah.
But it's interesting you're not closing the door on him, though.
No, I'm not closing the door on anything. I don't close doors anymore.
But you said for now. So you might call him in a month? That's kind of weird, isn't it? It's already been over a week.
Yeah, but guess what, Mark? Do you know what Tanya's trying to do?
Live an intentional life.
In the present. So for today, we're not calling him.
Got it. So that's why when I suggested we call him, since you don't want to, I still got the look of death again, because you're keeping an option open.
Yeah.
All right.
What if we called and we said, hey, we found this piece of paper on the ground with this number on it.
That's messing with my fate.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Thank you very much.
Okay. Well, this is my thought, and I have one question and one question only, and you can answer it however you want. If he was immediately attractive to you, where you didn't have to think about it, you turned and you were like, oh my, wow. Would you call him?
I don't know right
it's
now.
It's Dev honestly, Patel.
Yeah,
he looks just like Dev
it's
Patel.
Dev.
He had a little Dev Patel. It was like Dev Patel meets Adam Brody meets Nazari from Magic. Like it was. It was. I'm not gonna lie. It was my type for sure.
Yes, Scrubber. She really did just reference the lead singer of the band Magic.
Yeah, this is the most publicity he's gotten in a long time
from the song "Rude" from 6 years ago.
He's actually a very well known songwriter in the industry.
Okay.
I'm sure he is.
Well, I love that song, so like no hate towards any of that, but
what I'm trying to get at is he was my type. I just
yeah, so, but was, when so I asked was Mr. Wilshire. You're like Tanya. No. Mr. Wilshire compared to what you have dated is
agree,
not.
Agree, but in a car situation, could you see how I could have been like
no,
okay.
No, that felt like a reach.
I like the idea of calling him and saying that you found it on the ground, because then it turns into like a Cinderella thing, because then you judge his reaction. If he's, you're like, hey, I found this note on the ground, I just thought I'd give it a call. If he's like, hey, you want to meet up? Then like, this man is just down. But if he says,
this is my man and my number, and I ain't giving it to any of you freaks.
Well, then that's the thing, is if he says, no, this is for a beautiful blonde girl
man.
That I saw.
Yeah, he saw, this is for the girl I almost ran over.
He would say,
ago.
Like, yeah, oh, that's so weird. I gave that to only one woman ever. Or if he said, like, oh, yeah, I give those out sometimes. Yeah, no big deal. Which then one, we know.
Were you Ventura and Sepulveda?
That's what another on-air listener said, that this seems like a move, and he just has him, like, in his car, and he just, like, does no. this
that chicken scratch how it was written down was on the spot.
I feel the same.
I hope if he planned him out, he should do printer paper, like printer letters or whatever, because that chicken scratch has not
serial killer written print. All over it, not gonna lie.
Have you found anything out in your research on him?
Just where he resides,
like city
and city,
okay.
and poten- p- potential job.
That's pretty, that's a lot from a phone number.
Wait, we know who he is?
Yeah.
We'll have to get down to this.
Okay.
So you had a first name and a phone number, and you used the internet to get his city and possibly his employer.
Correct.
Wow.
It's pretty good. Pretty good.
Impressive.
It's pretty good.
I have to
say. Not gonna lie. I can't take the credit. It's okay. Not my sleuthing. I'm a terrible sleuth, but I have people in my life that are sleuth-asperts.
All right, we have a title.
Yeah.
Did his city and job make you less or more interested in him? Or
more.
Same? More.
Oh, okay. More. Yeah. Okay. She said, y'all missed it because she said it while Easton was talking, but she said, this is my man and my number on a piece of paper. She's claimed him.
Can we get a clue as to like what field, what general world of employment he's in?
He's a businessman.
Carries a briefcase.
That is a broad. It's broad.
Okay. I said general. That's general. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well,
Valley?
No.
Oh. It was interesting. So it was a coincidence that he happened to be over here.
Yeah. Or I don't know. You know, yeah. Because like, yeah.
What's the area code?
Bye, guys.
Oh, if I say his area code, we're going to narrow it down.
Bye.
There's like area code.
Can talk to my doula about it, okay?
Talk to her doula, cool Becca.
Talk to my doula about it. I'm going to make a bumper sticker that says that. Talk to my doula about it.
Cool Becca.
Wait, speaking of businessman... We have a businessman coming on the podcast as our guest today.
We sure
and
do.
He is a real estate expert. He's written a book. He's just like got a lot going on.
You may know him. He's on Million Dollar Listing New York, which is a very popular show on Bravo.
Yes.
Which is very popular show on Bravo.
His name is Ryan Serhant, and I'm very excited because in the process of buying a house, I have many, many questions for him. So he will be coming on next. And before we go on a break, I want to talk about our Galentine's night in, because we're doing a virtual night with our girls, and love it or hate it, Tanya and I have your heart, and you don't need a significant other for this party. This is a different type of party.
No, it's Galentine's Day.
I know.
So it's Wednesday, which is like not today and tomorrow, but the next day, February 10th. And it's going to be at 5 p.m. Pacific, which is 8 o'clock Eastern. You can get your tickets at onlocationlive.com/scrubbingin. A portion of the proceeds will go from the live event will go to Save Our Stages. And we have a really special treat, you guys, because we have a reunion of sorts. And this is going to be a reunion that I don't even know. Should we? So we have Sabrina Carpenter coming on.
Which she has been very relevant in the headlines lately.
Yes, she's not only super relevant, but if you will recall our episode from Palm Springs where Becca passed out in the middle of an interview. Never before happened on Scrubbing in the time of this podcast. Mm-hmm. We were doing an interview with Sabrina Carpenter. Becca had too many spicy margaritas and passed out during the interview and just disappeared. And we never, and so I kept going with Sabrina. We never mentioned it. I'm curious if like any, I need to know what her team told her, like if she even knows what happened or if she has no clue.
It was so embarrassing looking back. But she was just a professional. She got through it. If she saw me in distress, she never missed a beat in her interview with Tanya.
No, but then it's like literally Becca just falls out of frame in the middle of the interview. And Sabrina doesn't skip a beat. She just keeps on talking. It was awesome.
I didn't just fall. I was strategically leaning to throw up into an ice.
But I want to show her the video, for sure.
Okay.
We have to. And then ask her, like, if she knew anything was going on or she just was, like, doing her thing.
Well, I just imagine, because that was during, like, time where she was doing press. So she was probably doing, back to back.
Right.
She was just like, oh, okay,
right,
she's
Tanya's
gone.
Still there. Like, yeah. Okay.
But in the video, your eyes are cutting to Easton, like, looking at everyone.
I looked panicked.
Yeah. Both of y'all were absolute professionals, though. So I'm very excited to talk to her for the first time since.
Yeah. So get your tickets.
Yeah. You won't want to miss that.
Yeah. So onlocationlive.com/scrubbingin for your tickets.
It's going to be so fun. So fun. Okay. We're going to take a break. We'll be right back with Ryan Serhant. Presented by 21 Seeds.
So, you know, because you have a ton of friends and throw lots of girls' nights, it's important to always have a signature cocktail ready to go.
Definitely. And people don't want to spend all their time at the drink bar. They'd rather be doing fun stuff like playing charades.
Or having a dance party on the patio.
Exactly. That's why 21 Seeds infused tequila is a must-have.
21 Seeds is an award-winning tequila infused with the juice of real fruit, which means the flavors are built in. So you only need 2 or 3 ingredients to make your perfect cocktail.
21 Seeds makes the most delicious and easy margaritas ever.
Yes. 21 Seeds is smooth, fresh, and tastes incredible.
And it's not overly sweet. It tastes like tequila.
Just infused with real juice.
Totally. And get this, 21 Seeds is female founded.
Love it. Modern women, baby.
2 sisters and 1 friend.
All my friends are like sisters, so I can relate.
Listen, if you love tequila like us, add 21 Seeds infused tequila to your drink bar at home.
Enjoy responsibly. 21 Seeds, Diageo, New York, New York.
For the past 30 years, Care Heating and Cooling put you first. You are the reason they are open 7 days a week. You are why they make it easy to schedule service at careheatingandcooling.com. Concern for your safety is why they check every gas furnace for carbon monoxide. It's because of you that their technicians are paid to fix your furnace and air conditioner, not sell you a new one. And if you do need a new furnace, their team will make sure you get exactly what you need at a cost that fits your budget. Care Heating and Cooling is committed to doing business right. Call them at 1-800-COOLING when you need a company you can trust.
Abusers in Hollywood are as old as the Hollywood sign itself. And while fame is the ultimate prize in Tinseltown, underneath it lies a shroud of mystery. Binge this season of Variety Confidential from Variety, Hollywood's #1 entertainment news source and iHeart Podcasts. 6 episodes are waiting for you right now to dive into what lies beneath the glitzy image of Hollywood's golden age and all the sex, money, and murder that's been swept under the rug for decades. Using the Variety archives, each episode offers a rare glimpse into little-known casting couch stories that have long lived in the shadows. So join us as we navigate the tangled web of Hollywood's secret history with host Tracy Patton, along with expert Variety reporters and correspondents, as they discuss the secret history of the casting couch to explore the scandalous history of Hollywood's casting process. Listen to Variety Confidential on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
We started talking about this incident. Drugs and officials cover up. You couldn't believe it.
From iHeart Podcasts.
It's like the police knew who he was before they got here.
A story about money, power, and corruption.
The medical school dean at USC was leading a secret double life.
He's breathing right now?
Yes, he's absolutely breathing. I'm a doctor, actually.
There's no way that that guy's a doctor.
I'm Paul Pringle, and I'm an investigative reporter for the LA Times. This is the story of an investigation that starts in a hotel room in Pasadena, California, and reaches all the way to the top of two of the most powerful institutions in the city of Los Angeles.
When people fall in line, they fall in line.
Looking back, I realized, oh, everyone knew.
This is Fallen Angels, a story of California corruption.
We're always going to have predators. It's the good people who stand by and do nothing that allow them to flourish.
Listen to Fallen Angels, a story of California corruption on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, you guys, we have someone in the OR today that is honestly someone I specifically really need in my life right now, so this couldn't come at a better time. We have Ryan Serhant in the OR scrubbing in.
Hey.
You're our official first guest of 2021.
Am I really?
Yeah.
Well, not technically.
Oh.
Because you weren't here that week. We had Matthew Hussey on.
Oh, okay. Well, with both of us together, since I've been back, you're my first guest of 2021.
Oh, wow. That's awesome.
Tanya really rained on the parade there.
I'm just, you know, I check the facts. I'm the fact checker over here.
Where have you been? You said you've been since you've been back. Where have you been?
I just went. I went to Louisiana for Christmas. So when I came back, I
got it.
Yeah. So we had to adjust some a few things. But for those who don't know who you are, you're basically just a mogul in so many different areas. Where do you begin? Like when you introduce yourself and someone says, what do? Where do you start?
Well, I start with real estate. I'm a real estate broker and I run a real estate firm in New York. But most people know me from Millionaire Listing New York on Bravo or Sell It Like Sirhan's. And then we can get deeper there if they've read the books or watched the blogs or social and, you know.
Yeah, I like your book setup behind you there. Is that the big money energy, how to rule at work, dominate at life, and make millions on Amazon?
Yeah, yes. Yeah, you can get it on Amazon, not how to make millions on Amazon. But, yeah.
on Amazon, right.
Yes, it is stacked up behind me.
Smart. Cleverly good.
Yeah. Because my first book that came out at the end of 2018, I spent 2 weeks like traveling the country, you know, sales teams, sales forces, book signings, Bravo stuff, right? Everywhere. It was crazy. This time I'm like stuck in this chair, which is, I mean, it's fine. You know, I don't know. It's good in some ways. But it's not as exciting in every other way.
Right.
But it's kind of cool that I get to meet so many different people that I otherwise would not be able to travel to.
Yeah, I've had that same thought of like when we've gotten to interview people, it's been cool because some of the people we wouldn't actually be able to have the chance to talk to just because schedules and being able to come into the studio. And so it's been nice having guests that like a broader range of guests, I guess, because everyone's at home or, you know, they should be at home. So I'm currently in the process of looking to buy a home for the first time in LA.
Are you?
Yeah. And it is the most humbling, competitive, intimidating thing that I've done in my life, to be honest. I've put in an offer on two homes and it's been like there's been over 20 offers on each of them. And it just kind of feels
where are you trying to buy?
I'm in Los Angeles. So in the Los Angeles area.
It's crazy. Really? There's over 20 offers. That's wild.
Yeah.
You know, I thought that type of market was really only in low tax states. But it is, listen, it's COVID, right? Was a flight to land, a flight to homes. Nothing better than being stuck in your current house to realize how terrible it is and make you want to go get a better one.
Right? So true.
Like that's what quarantine did. It was a multi-trillion dollar PR campaign for the value of a new house, right? Of a better house.
Yeah.
Especially like, cause it's oftentimes out of sight, out of mind, right? If you're working, if you're running around all the time, you're like, I should move. Yeah, but not right now. It's such a pain in the ass. You just don't do it. And then when you can't do anything and you're like, I should probably move. And then Zillow is so easy. I don't know if you saw that Saturday Night Live skit this weekend where like it's like Zillow porn. you should check it out. It's funny.
I did see. I saw a lot of people talking about it, but I haven't seen it.
Yeah, because everyone's at home like late at night. You know, they're like scrolling through and then they quickly go over to Zillow and they start checking out houses that they can't afford. Yeah. It's like a turn on for people. But yeah, listen, it's an exciting process. It's awesome. You're either paying a mortgage mm-hmm. or you're paying someone else's mortgage.
Right.
It's up to you.
Right.
If you have the down payment, that's the decision you really have to make. Like you have a down payment. Are you going to pay your own mortgage and build equity and build a future? Or do you want to pay someone else's? Totally up to you.
I know. And that's what, but it is, it's, I guess my question is, how do you, in this type of market when it's like this, and you know, a lot of people are saying in the next few months more homes are gonna go on sale and there's gonna be more options apparently. Wow. But then it's, and then you go like, what if the interest rate raises? And there's all these questions of, do I need to just do my best to do it now, or do I wait so that I'm not overpaying for something that,
yeah,
you know?
So you can never time the market. It's impossible. People have tried, can't do it. But if you feel the market is too frothy and too hot, then you shouldn't bite off more than you can chew, mm-hmm. right? Be careful about overpaying. But oftentimes you're not just overpaying, right? There's a market for it. There's people who want to buy the houses for a reason. Don't be worried about interest rates. Interest rates are going to be where they are, plus minus a few points, like for the next couple of years. So
okay, that's comforting.
Yeah. So do not be worried about that. Just try to find a house that you love. I mean, that's the toughest thing to do. And if you can get a house that you like, but you don't love it, know that you can learn to love it. You can make it your own.
You can learn to love it. The key to life right there.
Yeah. Like, listen, I know you know, yeah, yes, I could go into there's you get what I'm talking about. Totally. So, yeah, you can learn to love them. Uh-huh. But buying a home is terrifying, totally scary, an insane amount of commitment, but it's fun. And it's that kind of important next step, right? Mm-hmm. Most people are like, my life sort of changed mentally when I bought my first place. Cause then I was like, damn, now I'm an adult.
Yeah.
There's a lot of things that yeah. make you feel like you're an adult, but nothing more than getting a mortgage.
Yeah. It feels very significant in my adulthood, this yes. step. And yes. I'm in my head, I'm looking at other markets in different cities, wondering if I should, you know, move out of LA or where the value is. And I get overwhelmed because I start looking at what's available in other areas for, you know, my budget. And it's a little discouraging seeing what we pay for in the Los Angeles area versus elsewhere, except for New York, of course.
Yeah, I was about to say, like, I'm in a townhouse right now that's probably worth $10 million that has no bedrooms. And the views are of brick. So, right. It's all relative.
Right.
Yeah.
It's all relative. But there is intellectual curiosity and excitement and energy and buzz. And even now post COVID, incredible networking opportunities in LA and in New York that you just can't do by Zoom anywhere else in the world.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yeah.
So you pay for it. Right.
Yeah. No, you're right. I mean, I have these moments, and I've talked with Tanya about it, where I go, you know, I could get this if I move to Nashville, or I could get this if I move to Texas. And then I go somewhere, I go to the beach here, go do something. There? I know.
Thank you.
I know.
I'm like, wow, my house is great. And you'd be like, it's so lonely.
Yeah. All my friends are in LA. Like, cool. Let me go walk my dog for 24 hours.
Exactly. I know. Yeah. But then I'd have a beautiful home to sit in my misery in.
Yeah, I don't know about that. I don't know. Location, location, location. That's why they say that, right? You live in the neighborhood.
That's honestly what's stopping me. I was starting the process of buying a home last year, right before COVID hit. And then I was starting to look around, because I wanted to live around here because I'm close to the studio. This is where all my work is. And then and now I'm working from home, and I just was like, maybe I just table it for a minute, because I don't know if necessarily this is where I want to buy my home, mm-hmm. you know? So I just completely stopped the process because I just was overwhelmed.
Yeah. Which is totally fine. I mean, when quarantine happened last year, every buyer dropped out in New York. Everyone waited because people just didn't know, why am I spending this amount of money to be in an apartment if I don't have to go back to work for 2 years?
Is that when you started writing this new book? Because I feel like it's all about kind of shift, because all of our routines got shifted. And so it's kind of starting to make new goals and how to figure out that. Is that when you started writing this book?
Yeah, actually, I was speaking to so many people, because we do a large, online sales. We have a large online sales platform. We have a course that's got we've been doing it for about a year. We have 6,100 agents in 110 countries, and everyone was going through the same thing, right? It first started in Italy, and then it wrapped through Europe, and then slowly it hit us. And I was talking to so many people that were having a hard time, who were connecting their self-worth to their income, right? And mm-hmm. social media has a big role in that, okay? But people get so self-conscious and so down on themselves if they think they're not making enough money and they're supposed to be doing this and they're supposed to be living this way. When you cannot connect success to money, right? Money is energy, mm-hmm. right? Success is a state of mind. And if you can project yourself to be the future you that you want to be, you can start being that person tomorrow. You do not have to wait. And as I was just talking to more and more people about that and the ways to do that and how to start taking note of kind of who you are today, what the perception people have of you is today, and how you can start leading a more confident, fulfilling life so that when you take control of the energy that you put out into the world, you can really change your life. The book just sort of came out that way and wrote it in like 2 months.
That's wild. That's actually, that's one of the things that my mentor taught me from the very beginning. I met him when I was 18 and he always told me, he said, chase your passion, not the paycheck. He's like, mm-hmm. trust me, the paycheck will come if you are chasing your passion. And he was right. Crazy.
Yeah. And you just have to put the work into the passion.
Yeah.
Right. What we say around here is pretty similar, but it's like, you know, because there's so much that we can't control in life. There's so much that, you know, you can't, you think you're going to book this and then you don't, and oh God, and so much is up and so much is down. But if you have a routine and you stick to it, right, and you take care of the work every single day, the work will take care of you. So just take care of the work will take care of you. And it removes a lot of the pressure that you put on yourselves.
Yeah.
You go out and make something happen every day. And I got to do this. And I got these goals. It's great to have goals. It's great to have visions. I think they're really, really important. But at the same time, just know that by default, like, we live in a time where if you put the work in, the work will take care of you and you will make money. You know, if you want it, right? That's the hardest thing to teach is want.
Do you think it's this year and the, like, after what we've been through with the pandemic and people losing their jobs and people kind of spending so much time with themselves in their own homes, like, do you think starting up a business during this time is financially smart, or should people wait? Like, what would you advise that if someone's looking to start up their own business?
The greatest businesses and inventions have come when people's backs were up against a wall. It's what produces the most creativity, the most ingenuity. And if you just look, like, Isaac Newton discovered gravity during a pandemic because he was quarantined in his house. That's the whole reason he was sitting under that tree, right? Like,
crazy. The
electric guitar was created in a recession. Basketball was created during a quarantine. Like, it's, you know, and so I think I started my own real estate company. I've been a broker at another firm for 12 years and I left on July 1st, 2020 and started my own company and built it over the summer and announced it in September, because I knew, as scary as this is, and as many people are leaving New York as they are, everything is going to get better. The future is always brighter than the past. Right. Mm-hmm. And no one else is going to do it. So might as well be me.
Wow. Right? Might as well be me.
Yeah. Set the bar nice and low. You know, no one else is. If you start a new business when everyone else is starting businesses, then everyone's like, okay, cool, man. Good job. Yeah, nice. But if you start a new business when everyone else is fleeing, scared, terrified, stuck inside, everyone was like, whoa, are you okay?
Like, that's awesome.
Really? Wow. Like, you sure? Mm-hmm. So totally different reactions. It's been great, you know, it's been great. So I think anyone with that entrepreneurial bug or spirit probably, I think, gets a lot of adrenaline from times like these.
Mm-hmm.
There's no better time than now. And like you just said, like, why not me?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
When you first started in this industry, did you have instant success? Was there that, you know?
No.
Didn't, you weren't someone who was like a overnight sensation?
No. It was slowly but surely. I am incredibly persistent. I will follow up with you until you die, and then I'll come to your funeral and I'll sell your estate and then I'll follow up with your kids. Right? Like I am in this business until the day that I die. But I'm very persistent. And I just knew that, I don't know. Like I grew up very nicely, like had a good upbringing, great parents, you know, they were, really not too excited that I decided to go to New York City without a job, to be an actor and then make no money and then get into real estate to pay the bills. They just sort of assumed I would go get a real job eventually. And being a realtor, they did not consider a real job, you know, 13 years ago. And the world's different now. Yeah. And, you know, I started by just doing little rentals. I was just trying to pay rent. I didn't want to move home. That was it. Like the biggest fear in my life was moving home. It's like, if I move home, that is failure to me. Mm-hmm. I can't come to New York and then move home because I'll never come back. Mm-hmm. I'd go do something else. So I need to just make it work. I just need to stick it out and make it work and I'll figure it out. And so kind of, I would just go month to month trying to figure out how to pay rent, rent apartments for college kids, make some money, put a little bit of money away, make some rent and keep going and going and going. But I knew that with every deal that I did, as long as I talked about the next best deal, those are the types of clients I would get. Right.
So
if I was doing $1,000 to $3,000 a month leases, I would only ever talk about and promote the $3,000 a month deals because those people would get me the $3,500 a month referrals and friends. Because no matter how rich you are, you have problems. Mm-hmm. And rich misery loves company more than anything. Mm-hmm. And so those people want to hang out with people who understand their problems. Mm-hmm. You know? So yeah. So I kept kind of pushing myself up in the price category that way. And then I got my first building to sell. And then from that, I got my next building. And then I randomly walked into a casting call for $1 Million Listing New York for Bravo with 3,000 agents. And they asked me why I was there. And I told them because I was the greatest real estate broker in the history of the world. And they were from LA, so they didn't know shit.
Yeah, right.
So they were like, really?
Fake it till you make it.
Yeah, sort of. But I also, if they asked me how many listings I had, I would have said one. Like if they asked me how many deals I'd done, I would have said like four. Mm-hmm. Right. I think a lot of people fake it till they make it and they lie.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Or they're disingenuous. And that's, I don't preach that. I believe that at that time I looked around at this crew of 3,000 agents that were trying to get onto the show. And I was like, dude, I am way better than all these people, whether they know it or not. Eventually, one day, I'm going to sell more than all of these people. They're going to cast the best real estate agent under the age of 30. And I was 26 at the time. They should cast me. So when they asked me why I was there, I believed, even if I wasn't it today, I will be it shortly, that I was the best and you should cast me. And then I took them around and showed them what my life was like for 6 hours, which was just mass craziness. And I think they were just so confused, you know, rolling around New York, getting car sickness in the back of the car because I didn't really know how to drive in New York City. They were like, okay, he'll do. But that's kind of how I got onto the show. And that's how I've gotten most of the clients. Like you know, a lot of the big deal, I sold a place. I don't do deals in Florida,
mm-hmm.
but I met a guy, a client. He asked me if I did things in Florida. I said, yep, absolutely.
Sure do. Yeah.
Right? He's like, all right, well, I'd like to go find a place in Miami. No problem. Okay. I learned the Miami market in one day, sold him a place for $33 million 2 days later. Because he believed in the energy, right?
Yeah.
It's the energy.
Yeah, it's the energy.
Right. If you feel like you shouldn't be in the room, the people in the room are going to know that that's how you feel, mm-hmm. and they're going to treat you that way.
Mm-hmm. What's like a typical workday for you? Like rise, grind, like, and I go through, like, I want the details of just like what you eat. I just feel like you're kind of one of the, I don't know. You're one of those people that I feel like I'm like vibing with. I just would like to know a little bit of your day to day.
So Sunday through Friday, when I'm in New York, I wake up at 4. I do emails till 4:30. I go to the gym from 5 to 6:30. I get the baby at 7, put the baby to her mom with milk right around then. I shower, get ready. I go to work around 7:45. My day is booked kind of on the 15-minute mark from 8 to 8. I intermittent fast. So I eat starting at 12 and I stop eating at 6. I use a service called Food Matters and they come in little cartons this way. So this is my steak. I got to finish eating here. And I'm in appointments or calls or filming or creating content. My number one focus all day long is brand. I got to push brand in any way, shape or form. If it's from a sale, I'm pushing brand. If it's from X, whatever it is, pushing brand, 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 because real estate is my oak tree, mm-hmm. right? That's the tree. Like mm-hmm. that is it. Nothing I will never do. I don't want to say never, but the tree and the roots are real estate sales. Everything else is my branch. And so I've always got to bring it back to the real estate. And then I do other things. I have the sales course. I have the books. I have the different TV shows. I have the content studio. We put out tons of content across all platforms. And now I have the new brokerage and everything else that kind of comes with that.
I'm kind of obsessed with you.
Your hat says Ratitude.
Yeah. Yeah, it does.
It's her own hat.
It's my own hat.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Because my last name's Rad, you know, so it's like Tanya's Ratitude. Get it? But I love when you say routine. I think that was something that really, you know, struck people when the pandemic happened, because a lot of people were shook from their routine. And I'm such a creature of habit. And I'm not going to lie, I lost a little bit, even though I still have my routine, because, you know,
it's hard.
It's really hard. And the fact that you wake up, you don't start your day job, I guess, whatever, until 8 o'clock, but you're up at 4 to like
answering emails,
gym, baby, like that you have given me. I needed some of that right now and you just gave it to me. So I really appreciate it because I needed that.
Well, thanks. listen, I am the same way. I have a lot of friends and a lot of clients who are way more successful than me, and no way ever would they wake up at 4. So that doesn't work for them.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But I know it works for me. And what works for me is kind of what you just said, right? I'm a creature of habit. I need that routine. So even quarantine, we left, right? We left New York because all the police in the city were saying, and they were dead serious, we're locking down the bridges and tunnels, right? We're going to close down Manhattan. And that was what the word on the street was. Because if New York City is the epicenter, New York City is this big. Why let it continue to spread and people are going to keep leaving? So let's lock it down. They didn't do that, right? They just did shelter in place and really advise you not to leave. Mm-hmm. So we left that Wednesday before the city shut down on Sunday. We went to New Hampshire. And the first thing that I realized when I got to New Hampshire was, wait, it's not vacation. It's crazy. I still have to deal with work, clients. Like, how do I do this? And so I just kept with the routine. I did like FaceTime workouts. They sucked.
Yeah.
They didn't like fun, right? I ran around the lake in the snow. It was terrible. Still did it. And then the day was just the best part about it was I just didn't have to do dinner events or anything, mm-hmm. right? So my days just sort of quote unquote ended early, mm-hmm. which was kind of the nice part about it. But I think the routine is really important because it keeps you focused.
Yeah.
And it keeps you focused on the work. And yeah. I'm the type of person where if I don't have that routine, then like all hell's gonna break loose. So I gotta keep myself in my lane.
Yeah, and that's what happened to me in the beginning of the pandemic, because we would do. So I do a morning show in the morning, so I'm up early, and then we do the podcast in the afternoon. And I was just kind of sitting around the house, like doing nothing in between. And I would get in to do the podcast, and I would be so just like drained and sad and like had no energy, and I was like, I need to like shake up my routine, because I can, like, this isn't me, like I need to figure this out. So now I like put my runs in the middle so that I can go out and get air and energy and like it's figuring out what works for you for sure.
Yeah, I'm not committed to any sort of routine. I do best with no routine. I like get just like I get bored with routine, so like even if I try to do it consistently, I'm like don't like it.
I mean, I think it's important now, and I did this a lot during 2020 and talked to a lot of people about it. I would spend during the day either 30 minutes or an hour, right? You kind of call it like your future hour, right? If you have the time, or your future 10 minutes, or your future 30, whatever it is, your future 15, where you just sit by yourself and think about the future and what you want, right? And just imagine it, just think about it. And I am telling you, there is no better way to create your success than thinking about it every day, just a little bit, just forcing yourself to think about it. Like if you want that island vacation or that thing, and it can be material, I don't care. Right. Like it can be stuff, like you want that Tesla, you want that thing, you want $1 million, you want whatever it is, right? You want your podcast to be top, whatever it could be, just think about it for 10 minutes, however much time you have. And write down what comes to your head. Like you'll end up manifesting and brainstorming so many things that you hadn't even anticipated, because you're actually going to ask your brain to wait, stop thinking about all the bullshit for a second and just think about the future, and it will change your life. I'm telling you.
This is so, I'm literally going to put future five, I think future five or 15 minutes. What should I give it? 15? I'll give it 15. It deserves it.
I think 15, it's going to take you 5 to get into it. And then okay. The last 5, you're going to be thinking about getting out of it. So you'll have a good 5 in the middle.
Okay. I'm going to put future 15 in my calendar every day for the next 2 weeks to get like, to get it in my routine.
Right. And then email me.
Yeah. What's your, well, I guess I can figure your, I'm like, what's your email? I'll get your email from our producer, but yeah, honestly, I'm so grateful. I'm sure you have other podcasts and other things to do because you have such a routine, but I'm really, really grateful that you're on the podcast. I
have something to say. I need to say something before we let him go. I want to know, like, what are 3 things that someone needs to get the big money energy and like get kind of in that space of thinking and future thinking and success thinking?
Sure. So 3 things. Listen, there's a lot to do. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
But if I had to break it down into 3 steps, you have to remember, okay, that we all have the raw material needed to be the absolute best version of ourselves. We just, most often than not, we keep it inside, right? Because we're either embarrassed of what we think the best version is. We feel like we have imposter syndrome. We don't feel ready. I still gotta wait. No, I'm not there yet. Whatever it might be.
Me.
And oftentimes, right? Oftentimes, maybe that best version of ourselves existed for a moment in time, but then someone took it away from you. Maybe it was a past boyfriend who was a dick. Maybe it was a teacher, a professor who was an asshole. Maybe it was your parents who told you weren't good enough. Whatever it might be, right? But there's 3 things to start doing to kind of get that back, right? Because we all had it when we were babies.
Mm-hmm.
Like I have a 2-year-old, she's the shit, and she doesn't give a shit about anybody.
Yeah. Right?
Only later, once we start to understand social pressures and the habits of others, do we start to kind of keep that on the inside and kill it a little bit. So first, right, big money energy is knowing what you want and actually getting it and devising a plan to go and get it, because nothing is out of reach. So why not you? So you write down, like literally, write down to determine who is the future you. And it can be 10 years out for you. It can be 2 years. It can be a year. It can be 5 years. It can be whatever you want. Okay? For me, right now, when I think about future Ryan, I think about 2030. That's an easy date for me to think of, right? That's 10 years from last year, and 10 years goes by like that.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So I think about 2030, who is that guy and what am I doing today? So that when I become him, which is going to happen before I know it, he's going to be so happy at whatever I went through today that he's going to go back in time and shake my hand. Like, what can I do for that? So figure out who that future you is, right? Then you need to do an energy audit. So an energy audit means you got to get comfortable with criticism and embrace self-awareness, which a lot of us also shy away from, right? We're all way too nice to each other,
mm-hmm,
because we don't want to hurt each other, right? We don't like confrontation. So everyone's always great. Everything's always, dude, you, oh my God, you look so beautiful. You don't look beautiful, right? Today's an off day. But you don't want to say that to everybody. So when you're ready, you ask for it, okay? Like I made one big deal when I was younger, when I first started, and I thought I was the man, but I absolutely was not. So I had to get real about how I looked, how I communicated, and how knowledgeable I seemed. And so a way that you can do this is you can ask a friend who you honestly trust, or a family member or anybody, and just say, hey, if you were to describe me to someone else without using my name, what would you say? am I the funny one, sense of humor, who's lazy? What? Be honest with me. Just be totally, just let it rip. Be prepared, though, mm-hmm. because what they're going to say is now your definition to the world, how the world perceives you. And if what they say to you is okay, great. Now, listen, they might say things that you don't agree with at all. Okay, ask somebody else. Mm-hmm. That's totally fine, right? But you need to be very well aware of how you're perceived to the world, how you look, how you communicate, and how knowledgeable you seem, right? So that's a little exercise. And then third is you need to stop waiting for opportunity and start becoming an opportunist because you have the power to make your own magic. I mean, my career really took off when I realized I didn't need anyone else to provide me with opportunities because opportunities were everywhere if you're comfortable with being uncomfortable, which means having that future 15. Right? Mm-hmm. Like, let's go and actually create things. You know, how many cold emails did you send today? You know, you want to do interviews with crazy people? Ask them. Mm-hmm. Just reach out. What's the worst they're going to do? Say no? Mm-hmm. Okay. Follow up in a week. The best deal I ever did, and I guess we could end it here. I met a wife who wanted to buy a place. She was from New Jersey on the Upper East Side, a budget up to around $1 million or so. And she never ended up buying anything. But I followed up with her and her husband. And I followed up every other week for 7 years. 7 years later, the husband wrote me back and asked to reach out and talk. And so we talked. And he said he'd gotten divorced, said he remembered when his wife was looking for a place, and said that he was kind of looking for his own place. And 2 days later, no, I guess it was 4 days later, Monday, Thursday, I sold him a place for $16 million in Soho. But it took me 7 years of sending emails. But emails are free. It's free.
Yeah.
Right? So what's to stop me? So what's to stop anybody else? Right? Be an opportunity.
So what you want. Awesome.
Go and get it. Those are three ways to start.
Those were really... I am re-listening to this podcast and taking notes once we're done for today.
It's so good.
Like Tanya said, I know that your schedule and what you said is booked back to back, but we so appreciate your time.
Yeah.
Like you were so informative and I feel like everyone listening will take something away. So thank you for your time and scrubbing in today.
Yeah. And I am going to email you. So look for that email.
She'll email for 7 years. So...
Make sure
subject line ratitude. So I'll make sure to look for it.
Okay. Make sure your publicist tells our booker. I don't even know how it happens, but make sure that they know that I'm cool.
All right,
thank you.
All right. Thanks, Ryan.
Thank you so much.
All right. Bye.
Bye.
You're like, I'll find you.
I will find you. That's crazy though. Sent an email for 7 years and then he sold a $16 million home.
Yeah. Worth the efforts.
I'd say so.
I don't know that I have it in me to be that like
persistent.
Yeah. Persistent and confident, I guess, because it takes like a certain level of just confidence that you're gonna wear that like you're gonna win.
I know.
After 7 years.
I was gonna ask him if he was a impatient person, but I feel like he's not.
I could see him. Yeah, I was gonna say I could see like with long term goals he's patient, but with like everyday things maybe he's like, I need it and I need it now.
Oh my gosh, that was crazy.
Yeah, that's really cool. I think. Because I'm in this headspace and wanting to buy, which I had so many more questions for. It's like I might have to send an email too with a list of questions. He's like, who gave her the email? But
we should get somebody for $1 million listing LA since they like probably know the LA market, you know?
Yeah, I think just talking to someone though who's in this space, it's just interesting. And I like that a lot of what he's done has been focused on your future and what you can do to reshift your attitude about, you know, or if you're in a mundane spot of just feeling like everything feels repetitive and you're wanting to feel a boost of something new. Mm-hmm. I like that that's kind of where focus. He's focused. Yeah. There is something about that because when you always talk about imposter syndrome and I think I have it too. I just have never identified it but I think a lot of people have that feeling of like, oh, I'm not supposed to be here. Like, why am I here? other than someone else. And having like him going into that casting and being like, well, I'm the best agent there is, while he's still very new to it.
It's so good.
It's a powerful tool.
It is a powerful
to have
tool.
That.
Wow.
Yeah, that was really cool.
He's got a new fan in me.
All right, we are going to take a break and we'll be right back with some emails. Presented by 21 Seeds.
So, you know, because you have a ton of friends and throw lots of girls' nights, it's important to always have a signature cocktail ready to go.
Definitely. And people don't want to spend all their time at the drink bar. They'd rather be doing fun stuff like playing charades.
Or having a dance party on the patio.
Exactly. That's why 21 Seeds infused tequila is a must have.
21 Seeds is an award-winning tequila infused with the juice of real fruit, which means the flavors are built in. So you only need two or three ingredients to make your perfect cocktail.
21 Seeds makes the most delicious and easy margaritas ever.
Yes. 21 Seeds is smooth, fresh, and tastes incredible.
And it's not overly sweet. It tastes like tequila.
Just infused with real juice.
Totally. And get this, 21 Seeds is female founded.
Love it. Modern women, baby.
Two sisters and one friend.
All my friends are like sisters, so I can relate.
Listen, if you love tequila like us, add 21 Seeds infused tequila to your drink bar at home.
Enjoy responsibly. 21 Seeds, Diageo, New York, New York.
Abusers in Hollywood are as old as the Hollywood sign itself. And while fame is the ultimate prize in Tinseltown, underneath it lies a shroud of mystery. Binge this season of Variety Confidential from Variety, Hollywood's number one entertainment news source and iHeart Podcasts. 6 episodes are waiting for you right now to dive into what lies beneath the glitzy image of Hollywood's golden age and all the sex, money, and murder that's been swept under the rug for decades. Using the Variety archives, each episode offers a rare glimpse into little-known casting couch stories that have long lived in the shadows. So join us as we navigate the tangled web of Hollywood's secret history with host Tracy Patton, along with expert Variety reporters and correspondents, as they discuss the secret history of the casting couch to explore the scandalous history of Hollywood's casting process. Listen to Variety Confidential on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Across Generations, where the voices of Black women unite in powerful conversations. I'm your host, Tiffany Cross.
Tiffany Cross.
I want you all to join me and be a part of sisterhood, friendship, wisdom, and laughter. In every episode, we gather a seasoned elder.
But even with a child, there's no such thing as the wrong thing if you love them.
Myself, as the middle generation, I don't feel like I have to get married at this big age in life, but it is a desire I have and something that I've navigated in dating. And a vibrant young soul for engaging intergenerational conversations.
I'm very jealous of your generation that didn't have to deal with Instagram and Tinder.
This is Across Generations, where Black women's voices unite, and together, you know how we do, we create magic. Listen to Across Generations podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
We started talking about this incident. Drugs and officials cover up. You couldn't believe it.
From iHeart Podcasts.
It's like the police knew who he was before they got here.
A story about money, power, and corruption.
The medical school dean at USC was leading a secret double life.
He's breathing right now? Yes, he's absolutely breathing. I'm a doctor, actually.
There's no way that that guy's a doctor.
I'm Paul Pringle, and I'm an investigative reporter for the LA Times. This is the story of an investigation that starts in a hotel room in Pasadena, California, and reaches all the way to the top of two of the most powerful institutions in the city of Los Angeles.
When people fall in line, they fall in line.
Looking back, I realized, oh, everyone knew.
This is Fallen Angels, a story of California corruption.
We're always going to have predators. It's the good people who stand by and do nothing that allow them to flourish.
Listen to Fallen Angels, a story of California corruption, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Okay, we are back and we have some hard-hitting emails. Mark?
All right, this is from Alicia. She says, I'm 32. I live in Dallas. The last month or so has been the hardest of the pandemic. I'm feeling overwhelmingly lonely, and I'm finding it harder to be happy. I have great friends and family who I talk to daily, but that can only replace in-person interactions for so long. What do you all do to fill your days, specifically the weekends?
I mean, I think this is really good for you to take the lead on answering, because you live alone, and I don't. My sister lives with me, so I actually constantly have people around.
But yeah. It is relatable. Even, I mean, I've got a wife and two daughters, but I get, you know, the work week is over, and I'm like, yay, work week's over, and then Saturday afternoon, I'm like, so
there's nothing to do.
There's nothing to do. Who wants to play Uno for the 50th time? You know, like,
yeah. You know, I do think it, and again, it's just like, you know, very Tanya of me, but I started doing Festive Fridays, and I would get dressed up. I'd pick a theme for the Friday, and I'd get dressed up, and I would order that specific food, whatever it is. And you can Zoom with people if you want to FaceTime, do FaceTime with people. If you do have any friends that you have seen, like a part of your quarantine, you can do it with them too. I found that to be really like fun and something to look forward to during the pandemic. So I suggest Festive Fridays. And then I don't want to like encourage people traveling, but honestly, being away for the weekend really, it just brought me energy, you know? Even if you can go somewhere where you're outside and mm-hmm. just connecting with people. I don't know necessarily like what's open around you, and you can wear a mask, but I do think that there's something really energizing about energy from other people. So whether it's through Zoom and just like making a plan to do that and like setting a date, being intentional about it and making it fun versus just like rogue FaceTiming and like, you know, mm-hmm. doing just talking to people. I found that to be really fun. So Festive Fridays were like a big thing for me.
I also think I know a lot of people who have been really, really like quarantined and not leaving their house or seeing anybody who live alone. And I think a few of them I know have done things where they have made plans with a friend and decided to quarantine for whatever the suggested time frame is, like 10 days or whatever, stay quarantined, don't see anybody, and then meet up and see each other. So that there's like, even if it's in a park or an outdoor location or, but just knowing that you've both taken the time to quarantine, because I do think like for mental health, I really think it's very important to see people and like have these interactions. And if you're just alone all day, like I think all of us here have at least some human interaction yeah. most days. And I think that getting that, even if it's going socially distanced outside, which I don't, it's probably cold in Dallas, but making an effort to see people, even if it's in once a week, one person a week, it's just like, we're not meant to be isolated like this. And I think there's a way of being careful and respecting, you know, the pandemic and COVID restrictions and everything, but also taking care of yourself, because yeah. you have, I mean, this is it. Like, you have to take care of your mental state and your emotional state. And it sounds like you're kind of on that decline of kind of at your wit's end, which I'm sure a lot of people feel too. So I would say make a plan and talk, you know, see someone outside and make an effort to have some sort of interaction, because we're all going to go crazy at some point if we don't do that.
Yeah,
it's true. And one other thing that's good is getting together with one of those friends and just walking someplace, just having a yeah. destination. You're not facing each other. You're wearing masks. You know, it's safe. You're outside. We've been doing that. There's a Starbucks about 2 miles from here, and we walk there on a pretty regular basis just because it's something to do. You know, it's a quick thing. But you can make it into an all afternoon thing if you want to. Yeah. And then you're getting exercise and fresh air, and it makes the day go by. And it's all about killing time these days. All right. Let's see who's next. Let's talk to Rachel. Rachel says, my best guy friend of 3 years is in a year-long relationship with his girlfriend, but he still somehow keeps me as an option. He's flirty just enough to give me the attention I need or want. He tells me I love you often, but I never say it back. He's never crossed any major physical boundaries with me, but just enough that if I were in a monogamous relationship with him, it would upset me. Would love to still be his friend, but I want to stop picturing him as a potential future partner. Is this possible, or do I have to just cut him out of my life?
I imagine we're all kind of on the same page here, I think. I don't know.
Yeah. You don't even want this guy as your future partner.
No.
Hard pass.
Like, if he's doing this to his girlfriend that he's been with for 3 years, he's going to do it to you, too.
Yes.
That's just the
fact. You deserve so much better than this.
So much better than that. Like, woof.
Yeah.
You are first choice.
That's right. Your first choice potential. And he is not respectful of either of you, really. He's not respectful of his girlfriend. He's not respectful to you as his friend or whatever y'all are.
Okay. So you know what, though? Because I think it's a lot. Again, we say this all the time. It's easier when we're not in this situation. So I understand. And I think the reason why you're so attached to this is because he's familiar. Mm-hmm. And you have a friendship, so you know he's not a scumbag. And I think, and this is sad, but I think a lot of women just fear dating or fear getting to know other people because they think that men are just going to be sleazy scumbags. And I'm just generalizing, but I really believe that to be true. And I'm here to tell you that that's not the case. And there's so, fear is such a strong thing. It's like, it's crippling in so many ways. And that is something that I think cripples relationships, because you just don't think, you think this is the only man that is compatible with you or has a good job or whatever the things that you like in him as a friend. You think that, like, there's not anybody else out there like that. And I'm here to tell you that's not the case. So step on the other side of fear. Don't, you deserve better. You really, really honestly do. And you know it too. I think you're just letting the fear mm-hmm. cripple you. And it's not a bad thing because everybody does it. But at the end of the day, what you want is you want a partner that is loyal to you, 100% loyal. And that's not asking too much. Mm-hmm. You want a partner that's a teammate and a partner to you. You don't want that's playing checkmate with other people. Mm-hmm. And I think those are the two biggest things: loyalty, respect, and trust.
Yeah. And I also think that if you keep him in your life and don't and keep having this friendship or whatever's going on, if you are able to meet someone in your head, like if you're able to meet someone else and start a relationship, he's not going to want you having this relationship with this guy who's for sure flirting with you and sending texts. So like, you're limiting yourself from, first of all, meeting someone amazing because you're settling for this guy. And second of all, setting yourself up to make your future partner feel insecure with a relationship with this guy who's doesn't have boundaries.
I agree.
Boundaries are very important, and you need to set some with this guy because you are a bad bee and you are first choice and not side whatever, fling.
Boundaries are like the key to life.
They're hard, though. It's hard to set it. And normally we have to set boundaries with the people that we love, like the people that we care about the most. Like, those are the ones that we actually have to set boundaries for a lot of the times. And it's hard. Like, I'm really working on learning to set boundaries it's with people that I don't want to have to set boundaries with. But
yeah,
it's tough because she likes that there's no boundaries here. She likes that he says, I love you. She likes that he's a little flirty and a little physically flirty, but not too much. She likes that. So then that's the problem.
Well, we all like that. We all like attention in that way.
Yeah. Not from a guy with a girlfriend.
Oh, can you imagine if the girlfriend found out? I mean, come on.
Yeah. It's just not good.
No. I'd be like, don't touch me. What's your girlfriend's Instagram? Because I'm going to let her know.
Oh, there was a post in the Facebook group about, I don't know if any of y'all saw it, but basically a girl that's a scrubber, her friend, the guy and the girl are both like good friends of hers. And she found out that the female is having cheating on the fiance, and they're supposed to get married, and she decided she's just going to go through with the wedding. And so the scrubber was asking, like, I don't know what to do because they're both my friends. Like, do I just stay out of it? Do I take myself out of the wedding and hope that she, you know, eventually that forces her to tell him, because he asked, like, why are y'all not friends? You know, I was like, that is tough. There was a lot of mixed reviews on, like, people saying stay out of it, it's not your relationship, and then people saying you should let him know so that his life isn't, you know, ruined by this girl. It's rough.
And she's friends with both of them.
She's friends with both of them.
I would encourage my girlfriend to tell the guy that she's been having an affair.
I think she did. I think she's told her.
And she said, I don't care.
I think she's just kind of, she's pretty casual about it from what she said.
I was in this very situation a number of years ago where the guy was cheating on the girl, and they were in a very serious relationship, and I was friends with both of them. And I remember talking to someone else, kind of like, God, I feel like I should tell her, because she thinks this is this great guy and he's acting like a piece of garbage. And I understood, it's like, this wasn't my place. I figured it will come out, like it will resolve itself, you know, because these things always do. And that was almost a decade ago, and they're still married, and it doesn't seem like it ever came out. So maybe that secret dies with me. Who knows?
But, my gosh.
They don't listen to the podcast.
Did you like kind of remove yourself from the friendship, or did everything just stay normal?
I distanced myself definitely from the dude, because I was like, I told him, I was like, this is horrible. And you should tell Monica what you're doing. And but he didn't want to hear it. And so I'm not his friend anymore, and I don't talk to her very much. They seem very happy. I follow them on Instagram. They seem like they're having a nice time.
Wow. Oh, I know. It's weird. It's like you, and I know we always have kind of differing opinions on different relationship advice of like when to stay out and when to speak up. But I do think it would say a lot without you saying anything if you backed out of the wedding and said, like, I'm not going to be a part of it. I don't support it. And it almost would force her to answer the question that he would have of why that happened without you having to be the one to tell. I don't know. It's one of those where I go, I'm not a professional. Seek professional advice.
Yeah, it's rough.
Or listen to Easton. It's essentially professional advice. Well, on that note, I'm going to go sit and think for 15 minutes about what my future looks like.
I cannot wait to put that in my calendar every day. My future 15. And you want to know what's crazy about that? And when he said this, I've actually started to do something with my neighbor, Aaron. We both were just kind of talking about how we have a hard time, like, working in our homes now. Like, we can get through the work that we need to do, but we're not like inspired to, you know what I mean, like push the envelope a little bit. And so we're tag teaming, and we're doing you know how people do like future planning, and they have like their like baby classes and stuff where they do Lamaze class and like future family planning or whatever. Like, we're doing future planning, and we're keeping each other accountable, and we're going to do it together somewhere outside, like at like a park or something nearby, where we just like carve out once a week time together, holding each other accountable to plan our future.
For doula classes and stuff.
For doula classes and stuff.
With Becca.
With Becca.
Cool Becca.
Yeah, cool Becca. Becca. Not to be confused with me.
No, she's very different than you.
Yeah, because she's cool.
No, because you're cool.
That's great. She's so awesome. She's so cool. Yeah, she's amazing. She's like everything.
Yeah, very different from you.
Becca, you're my best friend. I obviously think you're the coolest person ever, but she has like a different like energy. Like, she's very calming and just like cool.
There's like no way for her to dig herself out. So like, we could just let this continue as she tries to explain, but my feelings might get hurt at that point. It's fine.
When you meet her, you'll understand the energy.
Okay. Can't wait. Becca, the doula. The cool Becca, the doula. Okay. On that note, we have to go. But I really hope that we see a lot of you this week for the Galentine's Day event. We have some fun guests coming on. We have a best friend competition. Tanya and a best friend of hers versus me and a best friend of mine.
Yeah.
Competing for who knows each other best.
Oh, that's what we're competing against?
I don't know. Something like that.
I didn't know.
Basically like the newlywed game, I think.
Oh, okay.
Type thing.
I asked Raquel and I was like, I don't really know what we're doing.
Is this going to be like the Selena lyrics versus Taylor lyrics?
You know, I don't know what we're going to get. So we'll see.
Well, great. I'm feeling great about it. Anyways, hope you have a wonderful Monday and Tuesday. We'll see you on Wednesday. We love you guys.
Love you. Or maybe I can ask Becca, my new best friend.
Oh, yeah. Y'all probably, I don't know how much you told her. She might be able to I don't know. She might know enough to compete. If I know you and I know cool Becca.
She definitely knows the size of my menstrual cup.
Well, okay. Well, then she, okay. On that note, we'll be back next week. Love you all.
Love you.
Bye. Presented by 21 Seeds.
Hey, you know how we're always trying to keep our girls' nights exciting with new cocktails?
Yeah.
Well, here's something that's going to flip the
21
script.
Seeds infused tequila.
Wait, you already know?
Of course. 21 Seeds is an award-winning tequila infused with juice from real fruit.
Yeah, so you only need two or three ingredients to make the perfect cocktail.
But did you know that 21 Seeds is founded by two sisters and their friend?
Sounds like there's a good story behind that for sure. So listen, if you love tequila, you have to try 21 Seeds infused tequila.
Enjoy responsibly. 21 Seeds, Diageo, New York, New York.
Abusers in Hollywood are as old as the Hollywood sign itself. And while fame is the ultimate prize in Tinseltown, underneath it lies a shroud of mystery. Binge this season of Variety Confidential from Variety, Hollywood's number one entertainment news source and iHeart podcasts. 6 episodes are waiting for you right now to dive into the secret history of the casting couch, to explore the scandalous history of Hollywood's casting process. Listen to Variety Confidential on the iHeart Radio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Parents, if you've ever experienced bedtime battles with the kids, I'm going to let you into a little secret. The Koala Moon podcast has revolutionized over 20 million bedtimes, with parents like you calling it life-changing and the perfect nighttime routine. With original kids' bedtime stories and cozy sleep meditations, every episode has been specially designed to make bedtimes a dream. Listen to Koala Moon on the iHeartRadio app, on Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Big Take from Bloomberg News brings you what's shaping the world's economies with the smartest and best-informed business reporters around the world.
We cover the stories behind what's moving money and markets
and help you understand what's happening, what it means, and why it matters every afternoon. I'm Sarah Holder.
I'm Saleha Mohsen.
And I'm David Gura. Listen to The Big Take on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.